Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Coverage Season. It's your guy, D-Dub, and I'm here with my boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's your main man, Easy Ollie. What's going on, everybody? It's another great day to talk about sports. And let's get straight into it, man. Biggest news on the block, Dak Prescott, man, signing that major deal with the Dallas Cowboys, essentially becoming the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Essentially more than Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes on a yearly average. You add in that $66 million signing bonus. To get that signing bonus, beating the record that was set by Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Dad got paid. Dad got paid. He bet on himself. He's basically said, this is what I think I'm worth, pay me or I'm leaving. And the Cowboys did it. They paid him.
You know what, Ollie? I think this deal is another team friendly deal, in that in all the commotion that everybody else was bringing to the table, as far as, oh, Dak isn't signed, you know, he was frustrated that he wasn't signed. Those are things that come naturally with the, you know, part of the organization trying to find out where people fit in, you know, long-term moves and long-term deals. And yeah. I don't think it was ever in Jerry Jones's cards to not sign Dak. But at one point, the one thing that was holding him back was really Zeke, and seeing where they were going to be able to put Zeke contractual wise and see where else Dak was going to fit in an emerging market. When we were first talking about Dak Prescott and getting signed, at that time, Russell Wilson didn't have a contract. Deshaun Watson didn't have a contract yet. And for Jerry Jones to be able to make the right decision for his future quarterback, which he signed now, I think that this deal not only compensates for the time that Dak has been waiting, but it also shows how much value Jerry Jones thinks Dak Prescott is to the organization. You see this deal right off the bat, he's going to be making almost $90 million right off the signing block. And it's a four-year deal worth $160 million. I think in there is a little bit of back pay for what Dak has been going through. And it also sets him up to be able to continue for future success with the team. I think with a guy like Dak, he's proven on the field that he's capable. He's got the skill. He's got the ability. And he's also proven the leadership. Throughout all this turmoil, the biggest thing that Dak did was keep his cool. And that was all the leverage that he needed. You know, every time they asked him about it, it was always, hey, we working on it. We're going to get something done. Might not be today. It might not be tomorrow, but we working on it. And that's the biggest thing I think Jerry Jones appreciated. And that's why we see the deal that we got here.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. I think to me, when a player is not satisfied or is disappointed in the process of contract talks, I think when you try to hold out or, you know, make it seem, you kind of lose leverage. You know, like it makes you look like you win it for really for the money, not for the team or for the love of the game. And I get it. Some of these guys definitely want to be set up, and there's definitely a way you want to, you know, win out on in the negotiation and get paid for your value. But I think, like you said, man, when you're quiet, you're answering to the reporters like, hey, we're going to get it done internally and we're not going to make a big fuss about it. I think when you do it that way, it kind of shows the team like, okay, this guy's sticking with us. No matter what the outsiders are saying, like this guy is, you know, willing to stick with us. And the most important thing I think that shows why Dak deserved this was his leadership, man. I mean, I think like people really forget, like this dude came in as a rookie and like balled out, like took this team to the playoffs, like had one of the better records in the NFC, like as a rookie, like he came in and did his thing. And like, it's hard to do that, especially when you're coming in with a group of veterans and these guys that have been playing with Tony Romo for the last 3-4 years. And, you know, they were ready to, you know, lead the squad with Tony Romo. you come in, he gets hurt, and you come in as a rookie, and you know, you got to get these guys to respect you. And that's what he did. He got everybody to respect him. And to me, I think like that leadership was very key. It was very essential in part of this negotiation for this contract. And another thing that I'd like to point out for Dak Prescott, I think this is a win for him because now he gets a platform to showcase what he thinks he's like, what he can do. Like now, like everybody knows you're the Cowboys quarterback. Like it's been a long time that somebody has said, the Cowboys have a quarterback. Like for a while, like people forget, like Tony Romo, they didn't think they had their quarterback. Like, it was always iffy with Tony Romo. Before that, Drew Bledsoe. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they haven't really had their quarterback since Aikman. So to me, like, I feel like the time is now. You're in a division that's really not strong in the NFC East, and you got a chance with a solid running game, solid offensive line, solid quarterback. You know, now all you got to worry about in the offseason is the defense. You know, you're on offense, you're set. From playmakers to the offensive line, you're set. So to me, I think this is just a great deal for Dak Prescott, man. I think he wins. You know, he checks all the boxes. It's a win for him.
Nah, and I think it's a win for Jerry Jones too, because a lot of people lost faith in Jerry Jones and and what was going on in the organization, because the fans felt like since jump, Dak was that guy. The team, the team since jump thought Dak was that guy. Even Dak thought he was that guy. But, you know, from us looking on the outside, everybody was like, Jerry Jones, where you going to sign him? Jerry Jones, when you going to sign him? Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, you know,
could you imagine if they didn't re-sign him? Like, there's so many options of where he can go. I can see the Redskins, the Washington football team throwing money at him. I can see the Eagles throwing money at him inside of the division. Like, let's just think about that. Like, in that, if people have paid attention to the NFC East, like, there's a history of them recycling quarterbacks, like, throughout the division. Like, I could see him easily going to either one of those franchises. I could see him going, you know, maybe even elsewhere. And dominating, you see what I'm saying? So it's you had to re-sign this guy. He's done nothing but produce. He's been nothing but productive for your team. And like I said, man, he's the leader of the offense. He's the leader of the team, and they just had to re-sign him.
Ali, we're talking about Dak and his deal, and there are a lot of other deals that haven't gone through yet. A lot of other guys sitting here, you know, waiting through the free agency, waiting to get tagged. What do you think about some of these other guys that are still waiting to, you know, have their number punched?
Well, I mean, it depends what side of the ball you're really looking at first and foremost. You know, you look at a team like the Giants who have tagged Leonard Williams for the second straight year. And, you know, you're looking at it like, you know, they're already a team that's strapped, you know, cap-wise. Like, they don't have much cap space and you know, tagging him. You got to pay this guy almost $20 million if you don't come to a terms for a long-term deal. So, you know, if you look at a situation like that, you know, both sides have expressed interest in of course, coming to terms to a deal. You know, so you'd like to see something like that work out. You look on, you know, you go back to the other side of the ball on offense. You look at Allen Robinson and the Bears. He's one of the better wide receivers in football. I mean, the last couple of years, and he hasn't even had consistent quarterback play, and he still had over 1,200 yards in back-to-back years. I mean, you look at a guy like him, you know, at a premium position in the NFL, especially now that it's, you know, dominantly a passing league. You know, a guy like Allen Robinson, you know, the hope is for him, you know, to get, you know, a good enough deal to where it benefits his pockets. And of course, it benefits the Chicago Bears. And, you know, they can keep him there. So, you know, those are two guys that jump off to, you know, right off the bat to me, as far as guys who need to go ahead and get deals done before the free agency period happens, or, you know, before the season starts.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know what really sticks out for me? I mean, granted, I think that Tampa needs to sign Chris Godwin. I don't like the way that, you know, the franchise tag situation is working. You need a number one receiver on the team. Granted, at the same time, for Tampa, you got Mike Evans there, but he's also already locked up. You don't have to worry about him. You want to be able to keep your young core guys together. So I do think that they need to work on something for Chris ASAP, because you don't want to, you know, let one of your core pieces, especially that's been one of your key pieces to your offense, and, you know, just let it slip out the door. It's not something that you want to do. Granted, I'm sure they're working on something, but I think they need to work on something sooner than later.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, you talk about guys who, you know, are going to be looking forward to free agency when it starts on the 17th. You know, you look at a wide receiver like John Brown, who just got cut from the Bills today. Hunter Henry, who didn't get the franchise tag. Chris Carson, who didn't get the franchise tag. Shaquille Barrett. So it's a couple of guys who are pretty productive, guys who have had, you know, productive seasons for their teams recently, that are going to hit the market, man. So, you know, those guys are going to be looking forward to getting paid.
I think the whole thing with Shaquille, I think for Shaquille Barrett, I think the deal's coming. I don't think they're going to let him walk in free agency.
Not with Tampa. Not with Tampa.
You're probably right, because somebody's willing to pay, you know, a premium edge rusher.
The way he played in the Super Bowl, I mean, he was dominant in the Super Bowl. He was dominant. I mean, he led the league in sacks just 2 years ago. You know, so he is a player that needs to, you know, get signed ASAP. And I think as soon as the period opens up, teams are going to be at his front door. Like you said, it's a important position, playing on the edge, and he's really good at it. So. I think a lot of teams are going to be calling, and whether it's Tampa, whether it's somebody else, I think he's going to get paid. He's going to get that bag, you know, once free agency starts, man.
Yeah, and you know, there's other parts of the free agency that usually doesn't get as much light, but guys like Aaron Jones and Chris Carson are sitting in the wind. The running back doesn't get as much light like it used to. You know, where you always talking about wide receivers, defensive players, quarterbacks, but the running back has fallen back in the shadows. So what do you think about key pieces like Aaron Jones and Chris Carson? I mean, we see what Green Bay was able to do last year. We knew the running game could be as good as it was, as long as the offensive line could hold up. They had a great running game and a great scheme, especially with the two running back system. We knew that was going to work. I've been saying it for a long time. The dual running back system is a great system. But with a guy like Aaron Jones, what do they do with him? Do they let him walk? Do they reinvest? What you think?
I mean, there have definitely been talks that, you know, both sides are interested in keeping, you know, the relationship strong. But in all honesty, there are a couple of teams, especially one that Aaron Jones has been linked with a lot recently, the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, there's a good chance, you know, they need a lead back, especially with a young quarterback like Tua. You know, a young and up-and-coming offensive line and some nice weapons on the outside. They really would like to get a running back to you know, pretty much be the featured guy. You know, they really haven't had a really good running back since King and Drake was traded from that team. So, you know, you look at a team like that, they're definitely somebody who you know, could be in position to sign him. You look at a team like the Denver Broncos, they're definitely a team that could be in position to sign him. They need a featured back because they don't really have one. So, you know, there are a number of teams that could be looking at his way now, with the value of the running back being so low and not what it used to be. Is he going to get the type of money he thinks he's going to get is the biggest question. In my opinion, I think Aaron Jones is worth it. You know, I think he's worth like a max type of deal for a running back. You know, he's been productive. You know, he's had multiple 3-touchdown, 4-touchdown games in his career. The last two seasons, he's been one of the better running backs scoring wise. You know, he gets the job done. So he's somebody I'd like to see get paid. You know, now I think he definitely has a good you know, thing going for him in Green Bay, but hey, maybe the grass is green on the other side.
Could be. It could be. But as we wrap up our NFL segment, I got one last question, Ali. Today we figured out the NFL released, the NFLPA, the salary cap for this season, upcoming season. With the decrease in salary, how do you think this is going to affect teams down the line, especially with decisions like, you know, for players who haven't been tagged and are looking to make long-term deals?
I think it'll be fine. I think there's gonna be a boost next year when the salary cap hits again. I think a lot of teams are gonna go through a phase of restructuring like never seen before. I think a lot of teams are gonna restructure multiple contracts for some of their guys that are getting some good money, you know. So I think that's gonna happen a lot. But I think the NFL is gonna be fine, especially now with certain you know, states starting to open up at full capacity. There's gonna be some type of revenue. You know, the fans are gonna come through. You know, the fans are gonna go ahead and support. So, you know, with all of that said and being done, and you know, of course, television deals. I think, you know, even having the salary cap getting decreased, I think it was by 11 or 10 or 11 million. I think it's going to take a nice big jump next year. So I think teams are going to be smart as far as how they give out contracts and how they restructure contracts, and they'll be ready for next year.
Yeah.
But of course, like you said, let's get straight into basketball, man. Joel Embiid. Let's get straight into it. MVP. I think he's the MVP right now. What Doc Rivers has done with him, he's definitely the most dominant big man in the league right now. I know you're not a big Joel Embiid fan. I know you're not. But the facts are he's balling, man. The man is hooping. He has changed the way he goes about the game. There's a different level of maturity with him. He's a little bit more serious now. Like, you know, he's still having fun out there, but he's a little bit more serious. And I think Doc Rivers has a lot to do with that. Another person that I think is definitely in consideration for MVP, man, as we get this rolling. And I don't think he gets a lot of love for this topic. But I'm gonna just go ahead and say this, man, Chris Paul. There's no doubt about it what he does when he goes to a team. We saw when he went from the Hornets to the Clippers. We saw when he came from the Clippers to the Rockets. We saw when he went from the Rockets to the Thunder. He improves teams. He makes teams winners. He helps his teammates become winners. It starts from the little things, you know, with his leadership, you know, how he goes about his work every day. And I think that rubs off just tremendously on players, man. It's just, you know, he has a good vibe to him and he helps everybody win. And we clearly see that, you know, with Phoenix having the second best record right now in the West. They've just been playing lights out. So to me, I think it's definitely gonna be interesting, you know, how the second half of the season proceeds. We're gonna have to see how they you know, run. But outside of that, Chris Paul is definitely somebody else that I have in consideration for MVP.
I like what you did there with the MVP. I like those two options because, as much as I hate Embiid, I also had him on my MVP list. But two other notable people that I had on there were Steph Curry, because I like what Steph is doing in Golden State right now. He's down some players, especially his right hand man, the Splash Brother, Klay Thompson. And they're still having fun. They're still playing basketball. He's still putting up numbers. just like we already know, it's a cheat code. My man has the trigger like nobody else. We saw it this week. We saw it last weekend in the All-Star game. Like, he could turn it on and off at any means, but the way that he's continuing to lead this team makes him a prime candidate for MVP. But one thing I want to say is my man's been getting a lot of slack. My man in New York has been getting a lot of slack. James Harden is doing work for the Brooklyn Nets right now. And he's been putting up numbers just like he was in Houston. And the crazy part about it is everybody thought, you know, just because, you know, man put on a little bit of weight, let himself go a little bit, that he didn't come to play. He didn't come to play. Let's not forget that this is the same James Harden that was working on his defense all throughout the bubble, getting on his grizzly. I don't think that, you know, he should be left out of the conversation. And I do think that, you know, the way that he's been playing is going to help this Brooklyn Nets team get to where they need to be. As soon as
No doubt. Y'all definitely agree with that, man. That he's definitely on my list for MVP. Like James Harden has been putting in work ever since the trade. Miraculously, he shed all that weight after the trade. in a week. So you know, ever since the diet, he's just been on a tear. I think the last couple of games before the break, of course, the game against the Clippers, where he just, you know, killed him at the end. You know, he's showing that killer instinct. I think even when they get all three of those guys to actually play meaningful minutes together, I think it's just gonna flow seamlessly. And now you add Blake Griffin into the mix. You know, it's just going to give Harden another weapon. The great dynamic has been, you know, Kyrie playing off the ball. Kyrie hasn't played, you know, when they play together, Kyrie doesn't play on the ball as much. Harden is like, he's shifted. Like, he's literally out here balling like an elite point guard. Like, I don't even classify him in the shooting guard category anymore. Like, that's how good that's how much he's evolved his game. That's how good he's been playing. And he's definitely, you know, one of my favorites. I think he definitely should be in the conversation for MVP, man.
Okay. And what do you think about Rookie of the Year? I mean, we got a lot of young guys out here, but I mean, I had my pick since before the draft, and I knew it was gonna happen. It was just a matter of when. But
go ahead and gloat, man. Who you had?
It was LaMelo. I knew since Melo went overseas and joined in the BBL that when he came to the NBA, not a matter of if, but when he came to the NBA, he was going to be the most ready in his generation. You're talking about a kid that went 16 years old. Granted, there are a lot of, you know, kids that play overseas and go pro, but from the American League to go and play with different international players and dominate in that league, leagues. And come back here with the confidence that he has and the way that he can play. He grew up in a family where passing the ball was ideal. You grow up with two brothers, and you learn how to share the ball, working between y'all, and you've also learned how to shoot watching your older brothers. That bred, and LeVar been telling us his jump. LaMelo is the one. He's the shark. He got that killer instinct. And I felt it throughout the energy, even while he was playing overseas. And this season, it has shown. You've seen the way he's passing the ball. You see the way he's more willing to take those outside shots. And hey, he makes them. But when he you can tell that he's not afraid to go out and just play. And that's why he's looking as good as he is right now.
No, no doubt. I mean, definitely. I think before he became a starter, it was like kind of close as far as who Rookie of the Year was. But, you know, ever since he became the starter, it's kind of like, damn, ain't no catching this dude. But yeah, I mean, LaMelo has been that man. He's been aggressive. He's been smart. He's a tactician out there. If I were to pick out of the last couple of drafts, like a model player to be LaMelo, I would pick Trae Young and Luka Doncic as one player. Mm-hmm. That's like the type of potential I think he has. Like, especially like with his shot and his range improving, like he's gonna be lights out. Of course you got to think about his defense. Like, his defense is up there. Like, he's a ball hawk. He plays great man defense, and he's only going to get better. He's only going to get stronger. He's only going to get faster. You know, another player that I definitely, though, wanted to, you know, talk about just quickly is IQ, man. Emmanuel Quickly, you know, down in New York, man. I mean, hey. Yo, he's been hooping. Like, you know, and I mean, you talk about, you know, somebody who got numbers. You know, his numbers aren't as impressive as LaMelo's, but coming off the bench, like, he's like possible in consideration, like for maybe sixth man of the year. Like, he's averaging just under 13 points as a rookie. He's close to being in the 50-40-90 club. Like, you gotta think about that. Like, only elite players get that feat. And as a rookie coming in, he's almost there. One, of course, is his shot selection. But two, he's a sniper from three. Like, he's throwing them up there and he's making them. So he's definitely somebody, like, you know, to look out for. But yeah, LaMelo runs away with Rookie of the Year. He's a generational type of player, man. Like, you could already see it. Like, you know, the NBA is gonna belong to LaMelo, like, not too long, you know, like,
well,
5-6 years from now.
Yes, I completely agree. But at the same time, since we're here and you're talking about Emmanuel Quickly, let's stay right here on the New York Knicks. Let's talk about teams. And this is one of my favorite teams in the league right now. The New York Knicks are looking incredible. We've seen how they played in the past. You know, they made runs. But the way that this team has been built over the last couple of years, players like Emmanuel Quickly and, you know, RJ Barrett, Tom Thibodeau – did I say that right? Thibodeau has been doing a phenomenal job in New York. Ali, we've been watching Knicks games our whole lives. We've never seen a team been built like this in such a small way. We've always gone out and got stars. We've seen it countless times over and over and over again. Granted, what do you think about this New York team?
Well, first and foremost, man, I think it starts with the front office. You know, it starts with the people around Leon Rose in the front office. It starts with the coaching staff. And then, of course, it's how the players work with each other, man. Like, to me, the most surprising thing about the Knicks has been that they have the same core as last year. Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, Elfrid Payton. You could throw in Frank Ntilikina, and then you just draft that Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickly. Like, that's essentially pretty much the same type of team that they had last year. Mm-hmm. And they won 18 games. They're already at 19 this year. So to me, it's just impressive what the coaching staff has done to me. And that's why like I really like what they've been doing, man. I'm a Knicks fan for life. It's hard, it's not easy. It's a job. It's hard being a Knicks fan, but
you know what's crazy being a Knicks fan? The biggest star on the Knicks is Derrick Rose. And I'm not saying like that's like, you know, to like bring him down or anything like that. Like, if you look at the core, like, Derrick Rose is a pretty big star, but like outside of that, there are not other guys like a LeBron or a KD. These are guys that have this team has been built like a small market team. And, you know, with the addition of, you know, guys like, you know, Austin Rivers, they've got a great chance at making
it. They got a lot of veteran guys, even though Austin Rivers hasn't been playing You know, he's still a veteran guy, and the young guy is Alec Burks. He's a veteran guy. Taj Gibson, he's a veteran guy. So they got like a lot of good veterans in different positions, like different key positions. You know, and the one guy that you haven't even mentioned, like the, how you mentioned the Knicks and don't even mention, is number 30, man, Julius Randle, bro. Like
surprise player of the year for me.
First time All-Star. You know, he's been hooping, and you talk about a guy who's turned it around. I was first in line when we drafted Obi Toppin to get rid of Randle. Mm-hmm. I was first in line, and I really, really, really wanted Julius Randle to come to New York, like from a long time ago. Like I thought like, yo, if we could get Julius Randle, like, yo, he fits perfectly next to Porzingis, like he would work. It didn't happen. He went to New Orleans. We got a chance to get him last year. I was like, yo, this could be it. Yo, Julius Randle could do this. Yo, he was ass last year. I mean, the numbers was all right, 19 points a game, 8 rebounds. Like, all right, that's cool. But he was ass. He wasn't a team player. And this nigga came out and did a 360. You know what I mean? Like, he came out and completely changed his game. And he's not, like, a lot of the questions, like, I've been seeing out there is he going to be able to keep this up the second half of the season? Why the hell not? Why the hell not can he keep this up? You know, like, I think he has all the tools to be a franchise player, and he's working on it. He has a great coach in Tom Thibodeau, and he has, you know, the guys, KP, Kenny Payne out there with him from Kentucky, somebody who he's familiar with. So I really like what he's been doing. I think he's in a great position to keep improving and become a cornerstone player for the Knicks. And it's not a lot of – it's very rare in this generation that you hear the Knicks have a player of their own that they've developed into a star. We haven't seen it since Patrick Ewing. So to me, like, this is a revelation. Like, this is – he can be that player for us. So, you know, I really like what Julius Randle has done this year.
And let's talk about some other teams, because New York has been doing their thing in the East. And we were talking about, you know, I was talking about James Harden and this Brooklyn team. What they have done over the last several months has been phenomenal. The acquisitions, they now have, you know, Blake Griffin on the squad, and you know, there are other rumors about possibly an Andre Drummond joining as well. Like, what do you think about the organization making these kind of moves? Do you think it's right? And how do you see the future of their organization going down the line?
I like what the Nets are doing. I really like the team that they've assembled. But I will say this before I continue. I don't care how many championships the Brooklyn Nets bring to the city of New York. The city of New York will always be a Knicks team forever and ever. I don't care how many championships they bring. Nets will
always be from Jersey. I don't care what they say.
Like, now they from Brooklyn now. I'll take them, but they'll never be New York's team.
They're from Jersey. They will never be a New York team.
But on the other hand of that, I think they have the best shot of beating the Lakers. Like, I really like the Clippers having a chance to come out on top if they actually meet the Lakers in the conference finals. But if there's a team that I'll put my money on today to beat the Lakers, it would be the Nets. And it's not because of the additions of James Harden. It's not because of Kyrie. It's not because of Blake Griffin. It's because of one man, and that's Kevin Durant. I think he's supreme, yo. Like, I think people really forget how good and amazing this guy is. Like, he's one of a kind. And I think, you know, he's been overshadowed, of course, because of LeBron's success. But damn it, this nigga is 2-0 in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, 2-1 in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still has a chance to surpass LeBron's finals. Like, he's that good. He's that capable as an NBA player. And I think, like, if I'm putting my money on anybody to beat LeBron right now, it's going to be Kevin Durant. Like, I know Kawhi did it once, but we haven't seen Kawhi do it again. But if I had my money on anybody, it would be KD. And I think he's the catalyst to all of their success. Like, you know, even when he's on the bench and not playing, like, they want to win for him. Like, you know, I feel like it's a sense of urgency to win for KD. You know, the whole city's vibrant. The coaching staff looks good, you know, as far as, you know, their energy is on a nightly basis. Steve Nash has done a great job of getting all those guys to gel together. But, you know, to me, I really think that they built a very consistent team. Everybody's consistent. They have a consistent style of play. One thing I think they need to improve on is defense. But outside of that, man, I think the Brooklyn Nets, man, they're in prime position to win a ring this year, man. But we've been talking to y'all for a minute all night long. But you already know it's time to go. Do what y'all do. We'll catch y'all later.
Peace.